writing 6 books of poetry, fiction, and most recently, co-authored Bibliophiles, A History of the Regina Public Library. For over 20 years, Anne was an administrator with the Regina Public Library, followed by work as an ecumenical officer at the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Regina, and then as a research fellow at the then Canadian Plains Research Centre, University of Regina. In 2014, she received the Spiritual Service Award for her work since 1999 with the Regina Multi-Faith Forum. She has served on many boards, latterly, until its closure, the Heritage Committee of the Wascana Centre Authority. While born in the pine-hauntingly beauty of northern Saskatchewan, to first-generation British and Croatian immigrants, Anne's work is grounded in her long-time prairie home, in relationships, and in the mystery in which we live. Anne will speak to us about her poet's journey. She hopes the poems she will read from her sweet poet's body will invoke your own riches, thoughts, and feelings, and reminder that an unexpected turn in the path can provide unexpected depth to life. Please welcome Anne Campbell.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tanya and Joanne and all of you. I love being with Unitarians, especially on this journey theme. I think this is my third or fourth visit. I started in the 80s when Beth Hohen asked me to come and talk about the feminist theologian Rosemary Ruther. And I really appreciate the weekly notices and monthly newsletters, and I often search out the readings involved. I was especially interested in Liz James' discussion, An Atheist Who Prays, where she talks about and looks at Dr. Tanya Luman's research in her book, When God Talks Back, exploring not God, but the lives of those who experience a relationship with their God. And I'll come back to this later when I'm reading. I'm especially happy to be talking with you about Journey today and the surprising shifts, pretty much what Tanya has just said, the surprising shifts and gifts our lives can take at the most unexpected times. An unexpected shift in my journey, my poet's journey, began with my 6th book, The Fabric of Day. I'm going to show it to you because it has a beautiful, beautiful prairie scene by Dawn Hall. Just love the prairie. The Fabric of Day was published in 2017. The poem selected from earlier books. It was a lovely launch and a national tour. And yet, I found myself thinking of the book as a kind of summing up, a kind of relief at not having to write anymore. But life happens, and for me, it was a cancer diagnosis at the end of that same year, followed by surgery and ongoing treatment. Surprisingly, also followed by a great surge of energy, somehow like I imagine a coda. Without intention, poems were asking for voice, practically writing themselves. It was as though life was saying, well, you might have thought you were finished, but we're not finished with you. As the poems poured out, it seemed the diagnosis had unlocked something hidden within, something hidden even from myself. We speak about journey, the road we set out on or plan for, with assumptions about the things that might make or end that journey. But if we are open, as Paul Tillich said, be open, these redirections can be a gift. I hope the words and poems I read from this new suite I call Poet's Body, a kind of 6 sections, will evoke your own riches, your internal, not known riches, thoughts and feelings, and remind that an unexpected turn in the path can provide unexpected depth at any time in our life. 1. Let me begin my poet journey. Let me begin as my poet journey began. Just before my diagnosis, I wasn't feeling well, and as to be expected at my age, was losing friends, and I was trying to understand it all. Poet's body misbehaving. In the hospital, my irritable bowel really irritated. The emergency doctor saying, so sensitive to the world, poet's body. And now, years later, this body, poet or otherwise, is breaking down, joining all the others my age. In the hospice, her last email, my old friend, not so old, no great insight, she said. And the night before she died, a cocktail party in her makeup. The other one, a week later, healthy, the morning of the aneurysm, that night calling her kids, gone. Did we think we'd escape? Oh, conceptually understood dying, part of this place we're in now, human space, nature kicking in, an ending? But what if, like Fats Waller said, it ain't misbehaving. Really, one never know, do one? One never know. June. As you see, my journey includes hope, which I have come to be more comfortable with, though hope, I think, has probably always seeped into my work. Home from the holiday. Through the window in my back garden, a shrub, quite tall, lingered all summer. But now, when it's time to put the other plants to rest, this shrub, while I was away, has blanketed itself, crowned itself, daisy-like flowers flung thick across its height, announcing the end of summer or winter approaching. And before that, catching up with the news, a note in the paper, the swift fox and danger not so long ago, slowly making a return, only threatened now. And me, home from a holiday, putting together these late fall flowers, this fox, charting a means for renewal. But why do I say more comfortable with hope? Well, I remember a friend in the past who said, you always look at the world through rose-colored glasses. And I felt very foolish when he said that. But then I thought maybe he was correct. I did tell a Woody Allen joke wrong for years. The lady at the diner says, such bad food. And I thought her friend said, yes, but such large portions. And she'd actually said, yes, but such small portions. Anyway, lately, thinking about hope as it becomes more meaningful to us in these strange times, in the books I'll mention, and being reminded of Luther, who said, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. I feel optimistic about hope. And this poem, which may not even be a poem, expresses that for me. Advertising hope. In the story of developing liberalism, the New Yorker's Adam Gopnik says, hope isn't only optimism, but deep commitment full on to a cause that might not or likely will not succeed in one's lifetime. The philosopher Ian MacDonald found in Theodore Adorno possibilities for change in a world order seemingly locked in on itself. And the poet Emily Dickinson, well, she said, I dwell in possibility. Hope, that word. Even the sound of it makes a space. Large enough to see a future, not ending. I have the names of the books if people are interested. I think Tanya has them for you if you happen to be interested. 3. Sometimes, hope or not, it may take a while to understand the guidance given for the journey or any journey. For me, what resonated a long time ago were the words ending John Fowle's novel, The French Lieutenant's Woman. To realize that life is not a symbol, is not a riddle, and one failure to guess it, is not to inhabit one face alone or to be given up after one losing throw of the dice, but is to be, however, inadequately, emptily, hopelessly, into the city's iron heart, endured, and out again upon the unplumbed, salt, estranging sea. Right away, I loved the sense of this, but for a long time, I didn't really understand the last line. It looked to me like after a great struggle, you got thrown into the sea. But along the way, I came to understand that change, all things new, and I think Tanya mentioned change at the very beginning, But all along the way, I came to understand that change, all things new are uncloned and strange. We are thrown into the unknown, but that very unknown where we are now can hold what we need, the salt, so to speak, go forth, if we can be open. And salt can come in unexpected ways. These are a couple of early poems after the into the metastasis. Life-giving. How does one begin to say it? It's been said before, my life given through illness. That illness word hovers close to the other one, an ending nobody wants to talk about. But it's here now for everyone, part of the program, in this strange new land of ill, where we all stumble about without direction, but where the air is real, so real now, you can taste it, magnified. And red pen simply saying after surgery, still in the game, oh, not so many awards as some, but still in the game. Yet today, after the oncologist more or less implied she could buy green bananas, live long enough to see them ripen for a while, maybe eat them sliced in a small bowl, topped with yogurt or maple walnut ice cream, no thought of awards, only houseplants, watering them, getting garbage ready, Monday for pickup, cleaning the stove, reading Saturday papers. These ordinary chores shrink everything external, give joy to her life. Four. But how do we do this? How do we stay open? What gives us courage to go on? I mentioned at the beginning Liz James' talk on the anthropologist Tanya Luman. Since then, I've read several of Luman's essays where she speaks not about God, but the experience of those who have a religious or personal experience with their God. For those of us whose perhaps similar childhood experiences of God no longer work, all is not lost. The experience of the ineffable remains beyond religion in surprisingly powerful ways. To whom? Lying in bed some nights, thankful I'm here another day. I want to say thank you, and I do. But I wonder, where do the words go? And trees come to mind. The energy of the earth animating. I was moved by a similar experience that the poet Laura Crozier relates in her memoir, Through the Garden. The book was written over the several years that her husband, Patrick Lane, was dying in a particularly difficult way. At one point, she thinks the only thing that has the power to heal or help is the forest near their home, and she prays to the trees. I was reminded, too, of John Steinbeck's first book, To a God Unknown, where the character is drawn to the holy powers he perceives in a giant rock. Five. And still, with hope or without, on a journey or not, we all live on this planet together, each experiencing in our own way the deep mystery in which we live, each of us with fragility and stability. Yet, yes, a deep core holds us, but it's often our fragility that allows us to connect with others. In the morning at the kitchen table in the fall, raising my head, my body trembling, I see the leaves, too, on my maple tree quiver. While the trunk, as trunks do, stays still, leaves reach out, shake themselves in greeting, caress the soft fall air. Endings, mystery, journey, hope or otherwise, there's always an ending. And for me, these last two poems speak of the macro and the micro of endings. Going home. Looking over the shoulder of fear, high, higher up to the stars, blinking, blinking, a star's way of signaling, have hope. They knew, the stars knew, it would take time, eons for us to see their light. The light we're linked in, stars in their home, and us here on Earth. Our planet, another mother, waiting to go home. And I'll finish with this. I won't talk about my love for the prairie. I guess it's evident. The sky overall, my prairie home. The sky overhead is huge, so huge it cradles the whole earth, tucks itself around gold prairie fields, reaches beyond, roams amongst all the other planets. But it's this particular piece of sky with all the love it holds, above this specific piece of earth that calls, don't forget, there's a place here. When you're ready, come back home. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Wow, this created so many images in my mind to do with a really long list of different aspects, health and death and hope and optimism. So I really appreciated that. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.